I'd like to speak on Revelation 20 on a special topic at the millennium's end. I'm Paul Bucknell with Biblical Foundations for Freedom and glad to be with you today. We are at a very special time in history. Of course, we don't know the future at this point, not specifically, not with regard to time and details. But there are some things prophetic insight has illumined us to know about the future, and there's a reason for this. The book of Revelation helps us to grasp the great sovereignty and purposes of God through this age, and we need to pay attention to it. Well, I'd like to do that as we look specifically at the very end of the millennium. It's a time when Satan is to be released, and we want to look at that very specifically, the text from Revelation 20, generally 1 through 10 or 11. Now, I have talked about the three different views of the millennium elsewhere. You can access that. But just since quick summary, we have the Old and New Testament, and the only place that talks about 1,000 years is here in Revelation 20 in the first 10 verses. And so it's interesting, and there is a lot of confusion how to understand that. I'm trying to go beyond that in this discussion. Maybe I won't for some people, because of different concepts of a millennium. But I think in the end, we all have to understand before Judgment Day, Satan will be released and will cause great devastation on the earth. This is what I want to focus on. I just want to look at the verses and what they actually say and take the precautions that are given to us. Let me pray. Oh Lord, please teach us. We really want to learn from your word. Open our eyes and hearts to understand your word. Teach us now in Jesus' name. Amen. So there's three views, premillennial, postmillennial, and amillennial, which better is called realized millennialist. As I said, I've talked about these before, but my concern is just to actually get to the text. So let me just briefly show you the time frame I'm looking at. I consider it the most natural. Right now from the cross, we have the church age growing, and then it will enter the eternal kingdom. I see this is how Revelation 20 is the most natural reading. We go from the end of the evil one and his release to Judgment Day and the eternal kingdom. So what we have here is the church age, what I call the millennium, and it's fine if we differentiate. You want to put that at the very end, or I just consider it the whole time that Christ presently rules by his word and spirit as he builds his church, extending his kingdom. Now, part of this interpretation of mine is just simply because what it says in Revelation 20 is that during this time, Satan was bound so he could not deceive the nations. And what we now have is the gospel going out to the nations. As Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, he has all authority over heaven and earth. Go and make disciples everywhere, you see. In other words, the nations, the ethos, and I'll talk about that in a moment, is to hear the gospel. Now, something's going to happen at the end where this freedom and liberty will no longer be. We get a hint of that in Romans 11 and the unbelief of the Gentiles, which again is the nations and the ethos. But before the general resurrection and final judgment, we see that there will be a great tribulation. Yes, some consider that going through the millennium, or at least different aspects of millennium. Again, I'm not getting into that. But the evil one is briefly released at the final end before judgment. So instead of talking about the 1,000 years so much, and I want to talk about what happens after the 1,000 years, because I sense there could be some deception here. I don't mind if there's a premillennial rapture. He comes and takes the saints away. That's fine with me. I will be one of them. It's not something I oppose at all in terms of practice. And I'm glad to be wrong there in my theology and interpretation. But there's a warning, and that's why it's put here. See, the book of Revelation is warning us of danger to come, impending danger, severe danger. And we're going to look at two markers in particular here, and how in the last half of Revelation that they are greatly emphasized and repeated. In Revelation 23, to be short, I just want to see, until the 1,000 years were completed, after these things, he, the devil, must be released for a short time. Now, it's going to be a very short time. That's why this blue triangle at the bottom is on the far right, okay? Before the general resurrection, which we talked about later in Revelation 20 and the final judgment. So that will be talked about later, but we're not talking about that. My point is, let's look at the verses and see what it's saying. We're looking and seeing that, hey, he's going to be released. Satan's going to be released from the abyss. So we're not really talking about the time during that time. And that's where a lot of debate is, what will happen and things of that nature. But what happens when he's released? Before he reaches the lake of fire. That's what we want to focus on, this third time period. Through this message, I want to talk about two particular things. First, the biblical teaching of the coming global threat. And again, this is, we're emphasizing Revelation 20, 1 to 3 and 7 to 10, where it's talking more about his release and what happens afterwards. Though in verses 1 to 3 that we look at here do highlight a little bit about that time when he was bound. So let me read this for you. And I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, the serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 4,000 years, and threw him into the abyss, and shut it and sealed it over him, so that he should not deceive the nations any longer, until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. Most of these verses talk about actually his binding, his subduing, and that he would not deceive the nations any longer. Well, as I said, we'll have one section on these nations. We'll be able to look at it, especially from Satan's perspective, because afterwards, he will deceive the nations, and that's one of the markers we're talking about. So Satan's release, something significant is going to happen that he couldn't do before. Now, I'm proposing that we have evil all along, even during the church age. But the problem, that the issue is, missions can go forth, but he can't completely bind the gospel from going forth. It will reach the nations. But when it does, and when Satan is then released, we're going to see cataclysmic evil come upon the earth, as it describes in the last half of Revelation. So God's angel will purposely release the dragon. And that's what it says. He will be released. In other words, the angel that bound him, God, using his angels to bind him, and also will release him. Now, he has different names, Satan, devil, the serpent of old, and the dragon, okay? Four names that are listed here in verse 2. We should pay attention to all of them. It gives us clues to who he is through the whole Old and New Testament. And the serpent of old, who does that bring you mind of? Of course, Genesis, right? Not where God created man and woman, but when Satan, the dragon, or the serpent of old, creeped into the Garden of Eden and tempted mankind. That's where he gained control over mankind and wanted to take rulership over all the earth. And that's what he's still aspiring to do, right? And that's what he will be allowed to do for a very short time, it says in verse 3, the last verses. He must be released for a short time. But release means he will also, again, be captured and then judged. So some suggest this will happen halfway through the Great Tribulation. Probably, that's my guess. We don't really know for sure. It seems that way. but it is for a short period. So it will be the latter part. If there is a what we call great tribulation, it will be certainly at the latter part, because it's Satan's release that makes it great. In other words, the devastation will be great during that time, severe, where it talks one third of the earth, you know, be destroyed, you know, things of that nature. But that it's short and judgment comes is a breather in that sense. No matter how bad it is, God is in control. Now, as in summary here, Revelation is not a chronological presentation of end time events, but a presentation of reoccurring themes with added clarity and finality. I have shown that in the other message. And so, you know, take a look at that. We will see the same thing. Even right before these verses, in the end of Revelation 19, we will see these things happening. So it's reoccurring, but in a greater escalated way. And this is the very final vision that is given regarding the evil one, and is climatic in that sense, with a great judgment. So Satan will be released from his prison, and so let's look at the two marks. The first one is mass deception. He will deceive almost everyone. We see that there will be believers, but we will see that he will practice deception. And we see that the Antichrist will do that, in referring from Daniel 11, in Jesus' warning, keep on the alert. You don't know when the appointed time will come. And then lastly, Paul, speaking more specifically in 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 to 11, that is, the one whose coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, so to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them with a deluding influence, so they will believe what is false. So this is a wonderful summary, actually, of what that deception will look like. God will allow them to believe the false, and they will all the more be succumbed into the darkness under the evil one's power and be terribly affected from that. Notice that there are false wonders that will persuade. And so we need to be careful, you know, whether they're aliens from over out of space or special powers that the government's hiding behind the scenes. I don't know. There's a lot of speculation, and I don't care to get into that. But the point is, are we allowing this to happen, right? And will we be deceived? No, I'm telling you, we ought to pay attention. Deception is coming. And this is one of the first signs when we see deception all around us. Now, we'll talk about the second point is when I actually talk about some connection with our own generation and what's happening in our own day. But I won't get to that yet. I want to first go through some Bible verses that actually teach about this. And there's a lot of them. And it's amazing, actually, when you start looking at all the ones in Revelation, how many times deceive is used. It's the marker of Satan being released. Because up to this time, you know, yes, we have false media, we have lying and deception all along. But there'll be a time when he will actually be able to deceive the whole world, so to speak. Revelation 12, 9, that Satan deceives to the freedom that he has. Revelation 13, 14, and he deceives those who dwell on earth. 18, 23, the nations were deceived by your sorcery. 19, 20, the signs in his presence by which he deceived those who had received the mark. 20 verse 3, what we looked at already, would not deceive the nations any longer. 20 verse 8, we have not yet looked at, and will come out to deceive the nations. 20:10, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone. I hope you understand here that what I'm trying to help you see, the three of the many uses are used right here in Revelation 20, connected to Satan. That's his brand mark, deception. Not the truth, but deception. So let's think about what that deception means for a little bit before we go on. So the devil's efforts in the end we know will be opposed by the Lord's way. When he comes, he speaks, he who is true and righteous, and it will instantly destroy the evil one. And we are to think of Christ on as the faithful and true one. In righteousness, he judges and wages war. That the evil one only can carry out his operation in darkness and deception, lies. And so he uses falsehood, hoodwinking, stealing, manipulating people, bribes, all behind the scenes, not for the truth. He doesn't want the truth. He wants to deceive people. And part of the reason I'm writing and speaking about this is because the alarm that I see today, which is being brought out very clearly, even as the Twitter, I'm not trying to bring up companies, but they're unveiling some deception that was there. Okay, it's a lot of deception, but it's bringing it up. So there's false news and propaganda, and that leads to delusion. But you see, this will happen all along until Satan's release. And when Satan's released, that deception will go into delusion, world delusion. It will go into more power, deceptive powers and false wonders will bring about more darkness, more deception, and more evil. Now, this is what's happening. And so he would not deceive the nations any longer. He was kept bound. But he's going to come out to deceive the nations. And when he's released, we're going to see that deception. And that's why I say this is the first mark, mass deception. A lot of deception. We're not to be surprised by it. It's just going to happen. And so the great increase of deception. And so the question comes down, well, is that what's happening right now? It's a good question. Is even the release of Twitter files, to go on the other side, part of a bigger plan of deception that Satan is actually, he has been released or will shortly be released. And this is all something that's entangling us. It might be. I'm not trying to take sides on one or the other, except to warn us as believers of the mass deception. We don't want to get that mark. We don't want to fall for false teaching. We don't want to go along with the evil one and wrong teaching and practice. I recently wrote a book on the biblical analysis of social justice, something common mostly in America. But it's just a scheme. It's not a biblical model. What God has is a sense of justice. That's true, but they have switched around the whole sense of justice because of their own philosophy, so to speak. And so it has become a scheme of deception. So the second mark is global occupation. And again, that like deception, it's repeated over and over again. Let me read verses 7 to 10 of Revelation 20. We'll see that's spoken of. Now, the verses 1 to 3 spoke more about and for the him being bound and being released. But here it's talking more about his release. And again, I'm not really focusing even on this war of Gog and Magog and that aspect of it, no, but the marks so that we can beware. Now, I want to point out, I have also spoken numerous times on the Antichrist, like on that passage on 2 Thessalonians. That also has to do with timing and the characteristics of the age of Antichrist. So you can look at those, and they'll be footmarked at the bottom of the article. Revelation 20, verse 7. When the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison. There's a debate when that happens, but I'm saying we will know for sure when these two marks occur. and will come out to deceive, number one. Number two, mark the nations, which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together for the war. Now, we could say this was a third sign, but that's at the very end. And so maybe that is happening right now as different nations align themselves. Yes, but I'm not going to get into that because these other two signs, deceive the nations, are greater, which result in the Gog and Magog war. The number of them is like the sand of the seashore, and they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city, which is probably Jerusalem. And fire came down from heaven and devoured them. In other words, God's going to intervene. Judgment's going to happen. It's only for a brief time. And when he thinks he has everything, then that will be it. And let me continue, verse 10. And the devil who deceived them, again deceived, was thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beasts and the false prophets are also, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. The timing and all this is significant, but I want you to see here, it's the deception of the nations will lead right into the judgment of the devil. Final judgment. We will not see any further release. The saints will not face any more martyrdom. No. That will be all completed as we look in verses 4 to 6 there. So this global occupation, we want to think of it as separate from global trade. We need to think of it as one person government or one government that rules over all, tyrannical, authoritarian. So before his imprisonment, the gospel went to the nations. That's what happened when God restricted the evil one from using all his power and all his aspiration to occupy the world and be that world false leader. You see, he wants to be that false Messiah. Once released, however, Satan's tyranny will be quickly apparent. So God's going to give him the permission to deceive the nations, basically. Okay, you can pretend that you are the head of all. But by doing that, he's revealing the evil nature of the evil one, because we only see the wickedness, how he doesn't rule well, how he hurts, and his true nature of destroying, and why he deserves judgment, and why people deserve judgment, not salvation. We will actually cry out for justice. We see his presence by signs of destruction about us, and it will reach the four corners of the earth, which we can now do very easily, right? You have Argentina, you have South Africa, you have Australia, New Zealand at the bottom. You have the middle region of India and the Americas, and all the way across Myanmar, Burma, Southeast Asia. And we have the north. We can reach up to Japan and Russia, all the way across to Ireland and Iceland and all the way across. And what do we see here? Four corners of the earth. And for us, I just draw up a map, boop, and I can just see them all in a flash. Yes, they're there. And so when we talk about the nations, it's very important we understand. Now, 20 times the word nations, ethnos, or Gentiles is used in the book of Revelation. It's a significant word in several ways. One, many times it's used. Two, in that it's talking about the non-Jews. Three, in the sense it's talking about all the people around the globe. Okay, so, and yes, the ethnos is also, is the Greek word, is specifying the different languages and nationalities and ethnics. Okay, so it's complete. Now we see that God's saving some from all those nations, and they all worship together. So we want to see God has accomplished his plan here. But at the end, he's revealing, and the nations that have not believed, the people that have not believed, will be judged. They'll be caught up in that deception. Now, 11 times it refers to Satan's totalitarian or absolute control over the nations. In other words, that's what he wants, be total controller. By global occupation, we're going to see that there's going to be someone at the head. The Antichrist will be first a representative, and then we'll see that the evil one just all the more works through him and makes himself apparent, seeking worship. It's terrible. I mean, just this morning in the newspaper, there is a Satan conference in Boston, and the good old mayor made sure it would happen. It sounds terrible, especially as they are openly for destruction. Why would we tolerate that? It's deception. It's control. So let me go through these 11 times, and you can see that they start in chapter 11. I'll have some observations afterwards, that being one of them, in the sense that it's talking about the escalation of the evil one. So it's given to the nations in 11:9. Tribes and tongues and nations will be occupied. The nations were enraged, 11:18. Made all the nations, and you can again think, the nationalities and the people all around the world, drink of the wine of the passion of their immorality. Says, the cities of the nations fell. What does that mean? Wow. Be destroyed? Yes, I think so. 16:19. The immorality, or the harlot, the actual one who sits over them, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Let me continue here. There's still 11 out of 20, right? For all the nations have drunk. I'll read a little more of the verses here, but please go back and read the full context of the former ones, if you would. For all the nations have drunk of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. And the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality. We'll come back to that. It's significant because especially in the last couple years since the pandemic, we've seen the rich get richer and the meeting together. Very, very interesting, that whole concept of merchants of the earth by the wealth of her sensuality. All the nations were deceived by your sorcery, 18:23. So we will expect more sorcery to come up. And yet that deception, how much is it sorcery? How much is it just media? We don't know. He may strike down the nations, his goal. But in 23, we see what happens, so that he would not deceive the nations any longer until the 1,000 years were completed. After these things, he must be released for a short time. So he was deceiving the nations, then he had to stop in the church age when the gospel was to go forth. The gospel was permitted to go forth. In verse 8, we see that he comes out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth. Gog and Magog, to gather them together. Okay, so here's some observations. First of all, it starts in chapter 11 and goes right to 20. Numerous times it talks about the nations, and I actually haven't gone into a few times it uses the world, talking about the inhabitants. It is in the article, and in tongues, again, referring to the different people groups. There's many hints along the way of destruction. But once it reaches a, as I said, like trade globalization, is a hint of tyranny, of globalization in itself, where there's one government, one ruler, trying to imitate the one king, Jesus Christ. Revelation 1 says he's already king, though. We will see that great devastation that comes when he is released and he gains that position. Sorcery powers and great men will be associated with a deception campaign. Great men, and it talks about those who are merchants, those who have great wealth. And we can think of it as billionaires. And that's why we need to be careful of these great CEOs and investors that have billions and billions of dollars now. It used to be millionaire, but now they're billionaires. And the number is few. And yet there's many of them. Again, I'll apply this a little more later. Satan's purpose to gather the people of the world to smash that one nation of Israel. They want to do that. They gather them together for the war. So we have the four corners of the earth, and he's going to gather people together for a common purpose. That's what it says in Revelation 20, after Satan's release. So we're going to see this mark of global occupation. He who overcomes and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. There's an interesting promise he gives, and a promise for believers who apparently live through this time. The one who's trying to take over the nations actually will have authority over the nations. Revelation 12:5, and she will give birth to a son, a male child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. I just take this simply as Jesus Christ, as a male child who rules all the nations, as it says in Revelation 1 and Matthew 28. And certainly he will protect his people and rule. And lastly, in 3:10, because you have kept the word of perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, the hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. There's this question whether, yes, this refers to a protection of some sort of God's people during this most wicked hour. And it's possible. Yeah, it's very possible. We don't know what that will look like, and I don't want to investigate that now. Revelation 11:15, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. See, the contest is, when we're talking about the mark of global occupation, is actually there is a world ruler, Satan, posing first as Antichrist, right? And then he'll take his mask off. But Christ reigns. Jesus Christ rules. People worship him now. Already he's sitting at the right hand of the Father Almighty. This isn't to be, it's what he does now, like Revelation 1 presents it. And his people are his servants. So this is the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord in Christ. Right at Revelation 11, before all of this is unleashed in a terrible, terrible way. And so we need to remember, as I close this section on the two marks, before I go into the observation for today, deception and a totalitarian rule where he will rule over all. Let's be careful. Let's be alert. And let's be willing to die for the gospel if that's what's the case. We don't want to side with the evil one. We don't want to fall to any deception. Let's be alert when we read. Let's be alert when technology advances into a scary kind of way, which we'll talk about now. Well, I don't know how far to get into all of this as we reflect on today's world. But the purpose of chapter 20, verse 1 to 10, is to give us a revelation to comfort God's people during oppressive dark times, to establish their loyalty to the Lamb, and to build up discernment, avoiding deception. God wants to protect us and keep us, and he will. But what does it mean for us practically? Yes. So there's two major marks. We talked about that, and we want to go now on talking about current dangers. Now, what I remember when I was in Bible college, some people would criticize those who have the scripture in one hand and a newspaper on the other hand. Today's world doesn't even know what a newspaper is. We have online articles done. We have web. Okay, so the world's changing so much. But the point I want to take is the same, because it was criticized by some that the end of the world will have not be able to be practically put into real life terms. And I want to challenge that because, again, God is warning us, be careful of deception. He's given us signs and marks, false wonders. Are we not to pay attention to these marks of a totalitarian rule? Yes, I think so. So I'll mention some organizations. I don't have links here. It's so easy to find them nowadays. But I do, and I don't want to get sidetracked because there's so many, and I probably will miss some. Yeah, I think I will. Let me start here. So in the newspaper, what we have is numerous world organizations such as WHO, the World Health Organization, United Nations, and you can look right on the websites and see what they're saying, okay? Openly aim to secure control over the peoples of the earth. Yes, and there's no doubt about that is their purpose. They're using WHO, for example, pandemics and things to control people. They have it all planned. Stage one, stage two, stage three, how to create fear, how to control people. It's all there. These organizations have secured funding by having larger governments fund them. Like the United States right now, we bring in all that money. There's that struggle, that fight. They need money, they want to get that money so they can carry out their policies. In today's world, if Lord, this is indeed the very end, it centered around climate policies. It's all, we're all concerned about the world and taking care of it. That's not the issue. What it now is, they don't even want to say global warming because sometimes it's cold. Yeah, they go to climate policies, ways to tax, and this has just been passed among some nations very severely in Europe just in the last month. But I'd often, they're using these climate policies to bring in money. So think of it as a grand tax methodology. So they can gain control. Who controls the purse controls the string. Yeah. So other current dangers, we're looking at an unprecedented global debt, over 300 trillion, many in leverage. And I'm not going to go into what that is, but the point is they spent more than there is. And all the nations, individuals, churches, families. If we're all in debt, then we are all vulnerable to being controlled. You owe me $100,000. Well, then you have to do what I say. You don't have a question. You become my slave. Yeah, this is the danger. And it's right now. And you can look, there's a website. I should put the link that traces all the debt of the different nations, of individuals, government, etc. And we can just see we're totally in debt. Central bank digital currency, CBDCs, have arrived. It's not just something in the future, it's something now that's being implemented in China. And some have said, hey, that's good. We should have that same type of censor and controlling and social control through these CBDCs. Everyone will have them, and we will control people by the way we control their money. If they don't do what we want, they don't cross right in that crosswalk, then they will be penalized. This is happening. This is not speculation. Okay. Now, I'm not saying that Satan has been released. As I said, he might have been. He might soon to be. We need to keep our eye out because we're quickly, like week by week, we are seeing escalation into this process. But that doesn't mean it's the end. Disasters will mount. This is all the way through. But what's on the horizon, of course, what we see is people destroying energy, oil reserves, famine, monitoring, even changing the climate up there. They're all there, and they are doing things like this. And perhaps it's connected with the nuclear bombs that they are all now threatening. It's disasters will mount. They are mounting with a pandemic already. Wars and rumors of war. It's hurting people, killing people. And do people care? No. Do the nations care? The rulers? No. This is the problem. They say they want to protect and preserve peace, but they actually are just trying to invade others for their own purposes. They don't really care about families. How about super rich businessmen to control the world? I've already talked about that, have I not? Yes. So the WEF and others are just rich people saying, well, we're controlling the world. They're not hiding their agenda. They have published different books. They have a website. Go read it. So again, this is our newspaper today. So there's an agenda of destroying U.S.'s control of the world, or all Western world, I should say here, because it's all connected to the euro dollar, and enabling a restructuring of the world. So they're using a socialist agenda, at least the ones in ruling now, or so they say they were using. They might have other agenda, but they're using that to persuade most people to bring conformity. So lower those who have control and make everyone equal. And it sounds good, but it can also be deception, because notice they're not all equal. There are those very rich people. Yeah, and rightly people criticize those global specialists who fly in on their special planes while everyone else no longer can travel outside their city. Yes, there are some cities and towns experimenting with regulating, you know, how far you can go in and travel every month or go out of the country. And already this has been experimented in places such as in Britain. Arrival of robots and AI. One world government in the end. Well, yes, we don't know how all this will relate. And artificial intelligence, for me, it promises a lot of great things. But it can also be very devastating, especially if we get into the area of neural implants of those chips in our brain, the passing on of knowledge. And the danger of it all is not being able to discern objective from subjective. In other words, what is true, what I'm thinking, what others are telling me I'm thinking. It will be all meshed together. So actually, we are thinking what they're telling us to think. We are judging how they are telling us to judge. I sense this is part of the deception that is coming. And that's already here for some. We have to be careful. So careful. Digital vaccine passport. So this is, you know, part of the WHO and part of the way they're trying to control the travel and the financial spending. It will all be connected in the end. And, you know, maybe have that mark of the beast. This is the mark of the beast. Probably not this itself, but this is leading to the acceptance of it in countries like America, where there's more resistance to things of that nature. So a little few more current dangers here. This destruction of large swaths of the Earth's population. Satan delights in death. And this is exactly what we're seeing happen. Not only through a pandemic that might have been man-released and designed, the purpose of a planned famine or planned war to destroy large populations, we'll see. But these things will come. If cities are being destroyed, we can think of millions and millions of people losing their lives. Where God values people, if on the other side, you see, God values life, and he wants his people to be blessed by hearing the gospel, being reconciled with him, and following him. This is God's kingdom. But Satan will have no part in it. If he gains control, he's going to bring death, because he hates the image of God. He hates anything with God. And the WEF, the World Economic Forum, confidently announced and sponsored numerous global reset ideas. But what are they resetting to? And who's going to be in charge? Well, they will. Where did they get that authority? Well, they just assume it. So it's just a lot of dangers that can lead up to a totalitarian government. And I'm not saying actually these leaders are that group. My guess is that there's people behind, individuals behind this all. It's just a front. So is this United Nations support a new international religion? It was just announced last month, I believe, at the COP27 in Egypt. They went up on Mount Sinai, and they just think. But the second beast, the harlot, which represents the religious world. It will persuade the religious world. And it's the religion on the outside of all different religions coming together. But, of course, it is not the kingdom of God. It is not the teaching of Jesus. No, that will be persecuted. And that's exactly what we will find out. Again, those are held back, but they're mentioning them. They're in momentum, aren't they? Unheard of immorality and injustice defended. Yes, we cannot believe what we see today. I cannot. Everything's being reversed. I have a document right here, counter series, where every truth in the Word of God, for what is true, Satan is reversing it to other things, such as male and female. Well, no, we're switching it. Marriage? Nope, we're flipping it. creation? Nope, evolution. You see these things. Everything, God is no longer the creator of the world, so they want to say. And so they must rescue it. They don't want a savior, Jesus Christ. But immorality and injustice and the sexual perversion that's coming through the web, through porn, through different means, all the rules have been switched. So immorality is pronounced rather than justice and care. Justice has been perverted itself. Christians are increasingly under threat of persecution. Yes, that is so true. Maybe not. I don't think America knows what that means yet, really. But it is happening in other parts of the world. And we will see a great escalation soon. Deception and censorship are being massively used to control countries and censor conversations. As I said, it's very clear through the Twitter files and other things that we don't really know what's true. We are being lied to. We are being persuaded by the media, and they're being paid off. So this is all, we can see how much they're being paid off by different individuals. So it's not like it's not there. But the point is, these are reflections on dangers. Is it the sign of the very end? Well, that's what we're trying to think of, isn't it? As we come to a conclusion here, we need to keep these two markers in sight. One, deception, and the other one, you remember? Yeah, so it's a totalitarian. And we're on a precipice of good or evil. We might move into another age of revival and goodness and justice, love for morals and God's word, or it will turn into evil. I don't know. See, Satan, if he's not released, then all of what we see now, all the attempts of fomenting this dark, invasive mass will fail. The globalists will fail at this point, okay? Later on, they'll succeed, but Satan has to be released. Otherwise, it won't work. And so we don't know if God's going to expose this now and bring in an age, a time of goodness with accelerated fusion power, the ability to use robots to help us to do better, and the gospel to go further around the world. See, up until the time when he closes, Satan will be released. He's going to shut the ability for us to spread the gospel. They're trying to do that by shutting down transportation and limiting people, controlling how they travel, so evangelists don't go around the world like they have. I hope you understand the special focus on the millennium. At the end of the millennium, we need to take care. We have two key markers: deception to a grand scale and totalitarian rule. There will be other things. No, there's no doubt. I mean, increase of evil and things of these. But these are just hints that will happen along the way. Sporadically, they've happened before. They get worse and worse and worse. And then, reform. So we don't really know what will happen in this reset. Whether it really will go as the globalists want and full control of the world. or actually God will bring in another age of increased penetration of his light and truth. But praise the Lord, this is only for a brief period that Satan's released. Even if we're living during this time, I think we need to be open. We might live during this time. Yes, he will probably protect different believers at different times. Yes, he will. We can call upon him, and yet many, as it shows in Revelation 20 and other places, many will die. But that's okay. I mean, we have our purpose, and maybe our purpose will be, in the end, called to give up our lives for the Lord, to show our love for God and our appreciation of what Christ has done for us. That's okay. We believe in the resurrection of the body. We believe in God's eternal world, and he will make all things new. So let's pray as we close. Lord, we thank you so much for the word of God. We thank you for your truth, the way you work in our lives and help us in many, many ways. Bring comfort, like Revelation 20 and the whole book of Revelation is supposed to bring to our souls, that even if the worst enemy and the worst things happen, still, it's only for a brief time. And Satan might be able to take our bodies, but he can't take our souls. Thank you, Lord, for securing our salvation in Christ. Thank you for the hope you give us. But please build up our awareness of the mass deception and the other mark of global tyranny. Keep us, O Lord, and watch over us, that all the more we're not afraid. We live in light of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the ruler of all rulers. He already reigns. Praise you, O Lord, and we pray in his majestic name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Revelation 20, a special focus on the millennium's end by Paul Bucknell.